Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Aim Low. I think this is episode 3. We're kicking off today, not kind of talking about the current NBA and what's going on right now, but I want to talk about a topic that both K-Max and I have been talking about for a while here, which is about the Hall of Fame, you know, who should be in it, who shouldn't be in it, just wanted to go through a bunch of players that will probably be up for Hall of Fame nomination for the next coming years, and kind of debate if they should be in or not. So talk about a little bit about, you know, how we selected these players. They're, in terms of active NBA players, we've chosen players above the age of 30. I think anyone below that, you know, they're still making their case. Obviously, there's a few players that are going to make it no matter what, even if they're below the age of 30. But for now, we've only we're only talking about players and current active NBA players who are over 30 or players who have retired in the past 5 years or so, still haven't been kind of nominated for the Hall of Fame yet. So let's start off with, let's just breeze past some of, you know, the shoo-ins, the guys who are kind of guaranteed, you know, because of their role, their impact. So I'm just going to name a few, you know, K-Max, you can hop in with a few. Obviously, guys like LeBron, Tim Duncan, Dirk, you know, those guys are definitely going to be in no matter what.
Yeah, and... Wait, you said LeBron, KG, I mean Duncan, Kobe are also players I think that are going to be.
Yep, pretty KG much as well. Definitely.
Yeah, and I mean they're pretty much.
No. I mean there's no way. I mean these guys are all first ballot guys, yeah, right?
It's good. It'll be hard to give a counter argument, I think. So you know, and I think there's no question that they'll be first ballot as well. Their impact they made individually, and then to an extent, I think most of the players also made global impact as well. So I can't find an argument to not include them in the Hall of Fame, let alone like the first ballot. So.
Makes sense. So I think we agree on kind of those five. I think the next kind of names that we drop in are kind of a little bit up for debate. I know some of them, I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of articles written about, you know, who will make the Hall of Fame, and some of these guys are on those lists. So, you know, do you want to start off, K-Max?
Sure. I don't really know who to choose first, so I'm just gonna choose. I'll choose Manu first, just because.
Manu Ginobili, okay.
He's
off with already a interesting pick here.
I wanted the first pick to be very interesting. From my point of view, he should be in Hall of Fame. And I think he will be as well. Being a first ballot or not is up for grabs, I think. But considering what Manu has done, first in the NBA, he's been, I think, a two-time All-Star. I think it was two-time. And then he also got the Sixth Man of the Year. He's also has 4 championships, I think. So...
Yep, 2 All-Star games, Sixth Man of the Year, yep.
In terms of statistics, yeah, his stats aren't that amazing. And so it's hard to give a debate, I think, in terms of statistics. But the influence that he's made even in the NBA, despite not, like, for instance, scoring a lot or giving assists that much, is great. He's people talk about, he's a fierce competitor, and I think that's what other players respect about Ginobili. He fit well in the Spurs system, and that's why his impact is I think there as well.
Look, I mean, like Pop clearly mentioned this in an interview with Manu, Tony, and Tim, right? He's probably ruined their career stats, right? And there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you look at kind of the minutes played that Ginobili had, obviously when he was playing his most minutes, which is still only 31 minutes a game, he was averaging 19 and a half points per game, right? It's clear that he can build up those numbers. It's just that he doesn't have those numbers.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what makes it. I think that's what makes Manu like a interesting player to debate about, because he doesn't have those stats. But he didn't get like in terms of like individual awards. I think his team that he was on was able to. I think the results came through like team achievement. He's got those NBA championship rings. He's got a gold medal in the Olympics as well. He's played for Argentina for a fairly long time, and he constantly produced results there as well. So even in international competition, people were scared of Argentina because of Manu Ginobili and the golden generation during the players that are like similar age who played together for a while since the junior basketball tournaments. So that's I think globally and even in the NBA he's made an impact. So I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. But I'm guessing you're.
I mean, I agree with you in the fact that I think he should be in the NBA.
Yeah.
I think there's.
You mean Hall of Fame, not in
the Hall of Fame.
He's already in the NBA.
He's already in the NBA. That's right.
He's been playing for a while.
And I think part of it is, as you mentioned, kind of the team factor, kind of the six-man role that he's agreed to, since joining kind of the NBA. There's obviously a few seasons where he's kind of taken on a full starter role, but I mean, even early on in his career, he's accepted this six-man role, and that in itself is incredible. And the kind of the impact he's brought into bringing life into that role again is incredible. And obviously, I think his international accolades speak. Gold medal. He's part of the golden generation. All that is incredible, and yet I don't think he's gonna make it. I think the international impact is evident, but I don't think he's brought enough impact in the NBA to merit a.
Really?
I think that's my argument here. I mean, if he was the best player on the Spurs, then no doubt, but he wasn't. I mean, it was Tim. It was Duncan there. I mean obviously he played a significant role, but that was what it was. He wasn't the superstar on that team. He was a star.
I don't think you have to be that superstar on your team. I don't think you even have to be like the superstar of your team to be able to make it to the Hall of Fame.
I mean,
I think
I don't think there's many players who do make it to the Hall of Fame who aren't superstars, right? I mean, so to take a guy in terms of like international impact, obviously Yao Ming comes up most recently. Even Yao Ming, he was on if not slightly lesser, pretty much equal term as Tracy McGrady on that Houston Rockets team. There's a clear difference here in the Spurs in terms of level between Tim Duncan and then Manu and Tony. I think Manu and Tony are have similar impact, but I don't think it's not nearly as much as Tim Duncan. And so that's I would say that's my argument. Is that I want him to be on it. You know, obviously Manu has brought kind of, I think he's kind of the catalyst in a lot of cases for the Spurs. You know, the quote unquote boring old Spurs, right? That he's brought change and kind of a twist in the game that's put everybody off their feet, and it makes the Spurs way more dynamic. So definitely, you know, an integral part of the team. I don't think he's going to make the NBA. It's curious enough. So
in the Hall of Fame, he's already made the NBA.
God, I keep saying that. Okay. It's interesting because on basketballreference.com, they actually kind of take the probability based on NBA accolades in terms of individual awards, in terms of team awards, in terms of stats and accountant. They put a percentage on what's the probability of joining the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously guys like LeBron, Dirk, you know, they're all 100%, right?
That's no question.
It's interesting because Manu is only rated at 20%.
Really?
And I just found that now. I don't think it includes international, and that's probably going to be a large portion of it.
This is going to jump a bit, but for instance, right? Where is Carmelo?
We could talk about, you know, different players are on here. I will say some players I think are, you know, the probability is too high. I think guys like Carmelo or Bosch or I think we'll talk about them. So Manu, we can at least both agree that we want him on the Hall of Fame. Whether he's going to make it or not, my bets are he's not, and so that I guess that's going to be Manu here.
Poor Manu.
I mean, poor Manu. I love Manu. I love Manu. But it's unfortunate. Pop has killed him.
Well, the thing. Yeah,
but it was for the betterment of the team. Let's not argue here. So the player I want to talk about, which I think is definitely up for debate. One of the greatest point guards of all time. Point God Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. All right.
And so,
what's your take?
Obviously, the argument for him being in the NBA is he's point God, right? He's you know, from year one, he's been an impact player. He's been a superstar. He led New Orleans Hornets. He led the LA Clippers. Houston. He's co-leading with James Harden right now. His vision, his assisted turnover ratio, he can still score. He's a good shooter. He's developed a deadly mid-range game. He's one of the better defensive point guards as well, despite being only 6'6", 6'1". Obviously his stats, you know, 18.7 points per game, 9.8 assists per game, 2.3 steals per game for his entire career. Incredible numbers. I mean, doing what he does at the age of 32 right now is incredible, and he's still going to do it for the next few seasons probably. Although maybe he's going to be a little bit injury prone, but still incredible player.
He might slow down a bit.
He might slow down, but still, right?
On the wrong side of 30.
He can average like 15 points and 8 assists, and that's still incredible for a 33-year-old, 34-year-old.
I think if he still stays in Houston, even if he slows down a bit, I mean, you sort of have James Harden to cover you.
Yeah,
so.
And I think the way Paul plays has, you know, he's evolved his game to slightly less athletic style of play, so he's been able to adapt very well. Obviously, winning has been an issue with him.
So,
with the playoffs.
So those were all Chris Paul's four arguments. Now, are you going to say something?
So yeah, the against argument is obviously the lack of winning in the playoffs, right? He doesn't have obviously a championship. He hasn't been in the finals. He hasn't has he been in the Western Conference Finals?
He usually gets out of the second round,
right? So. Yeah, I think it's the second round there, right? Yeah. You know, obviously individually and in the season, he's been an incredible player. Playoff, he's still been an incredible player in the playoffs. It's just that he hasn't won, right?
Yeah, I think I think we'll have to see after this season in a way, just because I have a feeling this season, unless a serious injury happens to Chris Paul or to James Harden.
I mean, they're probably going to make the Western Conference Finals.
So maybe that argument won't be as strong after this season. And I think I understand where you're coming from in terms of Chris Paul's. I have two points for Chris Paul not making it, and it's one, as you said, the postseason success has been an issue, but T-Mac, for instance, has made it, and he didn't have much postseason success. So I guess I'm thinking when people debate about the Hall of Fame, they don't really take into consideration the postseason. I mean, it's better it's a stronger argument if, for instance, you win a championship or you make it to the finals 8 times or something like that. I think it's stronger. It gives a stronger argument, but I guess it's not as important when choosing whether the player deserves to be in the Hall of Fame or not. So I think Chris Paul not having that postseason success, I guess it's okay. I think the one thing that I would mention is, and I don't think this is going to be that important either, considering other players who made it, but he's been a little injury prone, which makes it sometimes difficult to evaluate how Chris Paul.
I mean, I think injury prone, but he still played it. He's played 873 career games in the season. I don't think that's too big of an issue. I think winning is a slightly bigger issue. And if he can make it to at least the finals, right? I think then he's 100% guaranteed.
I think we should probably have this debate again next year and see how it goes.
I mean, definitely. It's a high probability he'll make it to the Hall of Fame, but he hasn't gone to the shoe-in level, right?
Chris Paul. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, he's not in that same level, for instance, as Dirk right now.
Right.
But if you look at
in terms of play, right, he should be.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's kind of the tussle you get, right? In terms of just the player, he's incredible. One of the best point guards of all time, right?
Yeah.
He would probably. I mean, obviously this might get some backlash, but I mean I think he's in the top five, if not top three, point guards of all time.
Top three? Okay, well, that's something. Yeah.
Anyways, so okay. that's kind of, I think Chris Paul, I would say he deserves to be on there, and I think he will be.
Yeah, I think so as well.
But I think whether the shoe-in part is going to be on his postseason success.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we'll find out.
All right.
Sooner or later.
All right. Let's. Do you have a name here? You want to throw in?
Who shall I choose? Carmelo Anthony. It's I don't know where to start with Carmelo.
Let me just read you his stats, by the way.
I'm also looking at his stats, but you tell me anyways. So
career 24 point scorer, 6.6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, his field goal percentage 45%. He's played in over 1,000 games in his career. Just in terms of individual accolades, 10 All-Star games. That's so important, right?
I think one or two of them he shouldn't have been, but it's okay.
Sure, I mean you can argue that, but still 10. He didn't get Rookie of the Year, but he was all rookie player. He's been in the kind of all NBA team. All NBA third teams, I think 4 times. All NBA second team twice. So I mean, obviously his postseason success hasn't been as
successful. I think Carmelo, I think he will be in the Hall of Fame. Personally, I don't really think so, but in the NBA, he doesn't have like, for instance, as many, I think, individual. He made it to the All-Star team. He made it to the All-NBA team as well, but he doesn't have a lot of NBA like individual awards, which I guess naturally you can only like it, that's always tough to get. So that part I understand. His postseason. He hasn't played much in the postseason, so it's like he doesn't really have that. I think the one thing that is helpful for Carmelo is his international play.
I think that's
going to help him push into the Hall of Fame. So personally, if you want him
to be in the NBA,
he's already in the NBA, man. What is with you and making it into the NBA? These guys are already in the NBA. I would prefer, for instance, Manu to make it over Carmelo.
I don't think there's any way Manu's gonna make it over Carmelo.
But unfortunately, reality is tough, and Carmelo will make it over.
As much as Manu has been an amazing player, I would argue that Carmelo deserves it more than Manu.
What did Carmelo do?
You have to realize it's not always about international impact, right? Although Melo's made enough impact internationally with 4 gold medals, right? I don't think that's the only strength he has. I mean, if you look at his career stats, he's been one of the best scorers in the NBA for a long time. I think that in itself accounts for a pretty big thing. Not many people can average 24 points per game in their entire career.
I guess.
He's been the go-to option almost since day one. I think now he's not a first option anymore, but you have guys like Bernard King who's in the Hall of Fame right now. I don't see Melo not making it. I think he deserves to make it.
I guess the other strong part about Carmelo is he's won 4 gold medals. He's won 3 Olympic gold medals. He's won 1 America's championship, and then he's got 2 one bronze in the Olympics and one bronze in the World Championship. On top of that, he's also won the NCAA championship, which makes the number of players who's won both a gold medal in the Olympics and the NCAA title is fairly low. So I guess that also pushes his argument to make it into the Hall of Fame. He's made an impact in the college level. He's made an impact in the senior level and then in the NBA as well.
I would say that even if you just look at the NBA, I think he would still make the Hall of Fame.
Okay. It's not the answer I really want.
I don't think it's the type of player you want in the NBA.
Yeah.
But
I think it's more to do with the style of play. I think for Carmelo, it doesn't fit my appeal. I think he's so lazy on defense.
I think individually he can be good when he kind of chooses to. And I agree with you definitely that he has quite a few defensive issues. But so does a guy like James Harden, right? So I think the NBA has always been a league that values offense way more than defense.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Stat-wise, I mean, he has done a lot, I guess. Such a sad time to think that Carmelo will make it into the Hall of Fame.
I think the 2003 draft class, at least three people are shoo-in. One person is shoo-in, two people are near shoo-in.
How many people are yearly shoo-in?
Two.
Two. I thought you might say three. I was like,
no.
I was gonna think.
We could talk about the dinosaur later, but.
Okay. Yeah. So that's my view on Carmelo. Sorry.
All right. So Carmelo, I think we both agree he's probably gonna make it to the Hall of Fame. Whether we want him to or not, it's gonna be another question.
Yes.
All right. We'll take another score here. T-Mac, Tracy McGrady.
No, T-Mac is already in.
Oh. Why did you mention him in the list before?
Oh, sorry. I totally forgot.
All right.
But I'm looking at the inductee list.
All right. T-Mac let's take offense, but at a slightly different way. Steve Nash.
Oh, okay. Go on. What's your call on this?
You know, Steve Nash, he's gonna make it, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think you rarely see a 2-time MVP not make it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, of which the second MVP I think should have gone to Kobe. But that's another question.
I think there's definitely debate in terms of who the MVP should have gone to. He got the MVP, right? Both years. With Nash, it's stat wise, it's good. It's not. I would say it's great. Obviously, he's been in the NBA for a long time, so individually, assist numbers look good, different things like that. But I think it's the new style he brought when he joined Phoenix. Is what really kind of sets him apart.
I think for Steve Nash. For the last two seasons that he had in LA, we should just disregard in a way, just because I mean, one, he was injured, and two,
two years in LA were only for him to go up in the rankings versus.
Yeah, so I pretty much take that out of the picture when I look at Steve Nash, and his career. I think Steve Nash will make it, and I think he should. Yes, he's got two MVPs, which not many people can get. Kobe only has one. He doesn't have that NBA ring, but I think he has the postseason. I would say a success. He's led the NBA in assists several times. He's one of those few players who's gotten that 90-50-40. Or wait, was it 90-50-40-90? Or was it 45 50, or 40?
50-40-90.
Yeah, so sorry. I got my numbers around, but yeah, he's one of those few players who's had a season averaging 90% of the free throw line, 50% from the field and field goal, and then from 40% from the 3-point line. That's already pretty amazing.
I mean, and the incredible thing is, it's not just 1 year that he had it.
Yeah, right? He's done it multiple years, right? And then he's not very athletic. He's not tall. I've almost never seen Steve Nash dunk. I think he's dunked maybe twice or something in the NBA career. So he's not athletic, but he's still able to keep up with the athletic point guards. And defensively, he wasn't like a liability, I think.
Although I think in today's NBA,
he might struggle a little bit. He can at least shoot though, so he can spread the floor. So
yeah,
he could do. I think he'll still do okay.
I think he'll still definitely be a major part of an NBA team, yeah. But but yeah, I mean, that definitely agree with you there. I think that kind of the individual accolades as team success. Obviously, he couldn't win a championship, but not everybody gets to, right?
Yeah,
I don't think we demerit the fact that you haven't won a championship.
Yeah, and I think, I don't think this is going to be factored in, but despite his age, he was able to produce really well. This probably will not affect his like Hall of Fame choice, but at age 35, can you still score 16 points a game and lead the NBA in free throw percentage?
I mean, I think what's amazing is that the new style he brought was, I mean, it started when he joined Phoenix, which was when he was 30.
Yeah.
Right. And most, in terms of just past history, like point guards after they turn 30, you start to decline. He developed into the player that we know
and
him to be now.
And like, you know, people after 30, they start slowing down their pace, right? Like, they don't run as much just because, right. I mean, it's the effects on your body is greater when you're aging. So after getting to Phoenix at age 30 and then pretty much doing that run and gun style, that fast paced offense,
it's incredible.
That's amazing in terms of, I know Steve Nash isn't athletic, but he's still able to keep his body in shape to keep up with a running Amari Stoudemire and then a Shawn Marion on your side.
You can just number wise. You mentioned points, right? But like, since he turned 30, there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons where he's averaged over 10 assists.
Yeah, yeah. Which 5 of them he's led the NBA in assists.
Right.
You
can't do that. You can't average 11.4 assists as a 36-year-old. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah. So I think that's,
you're an incredible player.
Yeah. So I think Steve Nash, I think he will make it. I think he should.
Do you want him to? I know you're holding a grudge against him because he stole away an MVP from your guy.
Yeah, I think that second MVP was a little strange, but that's another story, and that's also like I felt sorry for Kobe because he had to do so much. So that's the only part where I have against Steve Nash. Oh, and his 2 years in Lakers too. But that's the only thing about Steve Nash that I have against. He will. He better.
He better. I would kind of lose my mind if he doesn't. I think. I mean, I would say like, he's pretty much, I think he's as close to Shuen as you can get here.
Yeah, I think, and then I think where, I don't know, I mean, considering, I mean, I think this will not, this won't be anything in the Hall, this won't factor in, I think, in the Hall of Fame debate, but if Canada as a national team continues to develop well, I think Steve Nash should get credit for that as well. But that's another story.
I don't think he deserves that credit, but that's
I mean, I think I mean, he's pretty involved with the national team for Canada, so maybe okay, fine.
We'll see.
Never mind.
We'll see.
It's okay.
You have okay. Another player in mind.
Are we okay with time?
You know, up to you. If you want to mention the last player, or
I don't know. Since we already brought him up, do you want to talk about the dinosaur? I mean, sorry.
We could talk about the dinosaur.
Chris Bosh.
His nickname. One of his nicknames is King of the Dragons. What kind of nickname is that?
Wait, his nickname is Dragon.
The King of the Dragons. What kind of stupid nickname. Ridiculous.
Wait, whose nickname is Dragon? Sorry, this is again, we're going on.
Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh's nickname is the Dragon.
If you look at basketballreference.com, it lists like different nicknames that he has. Boshosaurus. I get that one.
That one again.
Right. I think everybody gets that one. The Bostrich. Does he look like an ostrich?
Maybe.
I like Boshosaurus. Although that's kind of hard to say. I'd rather call him the dinosaur. I think that's a nickname the two of us have agreed upon.
The Dragons.
Who the hell called him King of the Dragons? From Game of Thrones? I don't know
what it is. Okay, well, whatever it is.
Chris Paul.
Yeah.
does he deserve to be on? So I will say, let me say, in terms of basketball reference, his Hall of Fame probability is a 99.5%.
Really?
Apparently.
What? So okay. So I'm looking at his career stats, right? So it's 19.2 points.
Yep.
8.5 rebounds. 2 assists. Mm-hmm. Is sorry, I don't have the other breakdowns, but I see like a 49% from the free goal.
Yep.
33%
from three.
Yeah.
Free throw is 80%.
80%.
Effective field goal 50%. And his per numbers 0.6. Win share is 106.
Yeah. And he's played in 893 games. Which I know was cut short because of, you know, his medical blood clot, I think. Yes, that number probably should be a little higher if he has played, but again, there's nothing you can do about that. He's a two-time NBA champion, right?
11-time All-Star.
11-time All-Star. He's
All-Rookie first team, All-NBA second team, and 06-07.
And then I think in terms of college stats, he's got, I think, an ACC Rookie of the Year. International career-wise, he's got one gold medal in the Olympics, one bronze in the FIBA World Championship, and then he also has a bronze in the FIBA Americas Under 18 Championship. So I think that's pretty much his accolades as well. I don't know where the numbers are coming from in terms of 99.whatever% that he'll make it into the Hall of Fame. I guess he was a number one option for Toronto when he was in Toronto, and he was pretty much a double-double machine. I had him on my fantasy team when he was in Raptors, so I remember, I could rely on Chris Bosh to pretty much get me 20 points and 10 rebounds every single game. So during his time in Toronto, I would say that yes, he was the number one option. Although I don't know if he had a lot of team success during that time.
I mean, they made the playoffs, but that's
they made the playoffs, but
I mean, so I'll say it. I don't think he should be on the. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't want him to be. I don't think he deserves to be. I think he's been an incredible player, statistically, and obviously he won a gold medal as well. And obviously, being an 11-time All-Star doesn't happen every day. He hasn't been an All-League player.
I think
it's so, like, the All-Star game is obviously what the top. Obviously, you know, there's a difference between the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, but in general, it's usually about the top 24 players, right? In the NBA, right? So he's been in the top 24.
Well, I think that is up to debate. I think he benefited from playing in the East.
Wait, wait. You know, he's been the Eastern Conference has been historically weaker. He played in Miami, so he got to play with two stars. So obviously they've been winning. Disregarding all that for now, you know, obviously he's been the top 25 to 30 player, the top 30 in terms of players for at least 11 years, right? Because he's made the All-Star game. Yeah. But he's only made the All-NBA second team once, and that's
once,
it,
yeah.
Right?
So the All-NBA
second team is, you know, so being a power forward, he's been the second best power forward once in the league, but he's never been in the top three.
Yeah.
Other than that. So that to me shows that he's a great player. He's not is he Hall of Fame worthy? I would say no.
Yeah. So even his stat level, right? I think, like, great players, they tend to. This isn't a very strong argument, but even during his championship-winning seasons in Miami, during his career, for instance, in the 2011-12 season, he was averaging 18 points during the regular season, but then in the playoffs, it fell to 14. The same happened the next year. He won the championship. Season-wise, he was averaging 16 points a game. In the playoffs, he was averaging 12 points. I know LeBron and Dwayne Wade took more shots during the playoffs, but his stats fall down, actually, in the playoffs. I don't know. Great players, I think, show it when it matters most. And he's a too good option for a third option, but it would have been difficult, I think, to have team success if Chris Bosh was a first option. I'm interested to see what this basketball reference's like percentages for instance James Jones, right? In a way, just because James Jones has been the sidekick for LeBron James.
Well, but he doesn't have the individual accolades that Chris Bosh
does. Yeah, but I guess. But I know Chris Bosh has been in numerous All-Stars, but I think that's more because he plays in the East, where the players to choose from is already fairly, like, it's easier, I think, to make it into the All-Star in the Eastern Conference compared to the West. I think if Chris Bosh, for instance, are playing in the West, he won't have 11. He won't have 11 All-Stars. I don't think so. And he's also, his individual, his number of rings as well is two, just because he went to Miami with LeBron and Wade. So Chris Bosh for me doesn't deserve it.
It's interesting that you bring the individual athletes as well as kind of being the third wheel here. Because I would argue that Manu is the same thing, except Manu has a slightly bigger international accolade, but Chris Bosh has a bigger individual accolade in the NBA. My argument is the same as with Manu, is that Chris Bosh is not a superstar. He's a star. He's not a superstar. He's shown that he can be a star individually in Toronto, but he's not, obviously. He wouldn't be a first option on a championship team. He won't. He's not the same.
The difference between Manu and Chris Bosh is, even though Manu wasn't that first option or the second option, I think he was mainly a second or third option. But the thing I think with Manu was, everybody still, like, respected him in a way. I'm not saying that Chris Bosh wasn't respected, but when people talk about the Spurs, they're scared of what Manu can bring to the game, and it's because he's a little unpredictable sometimes. But I think the influence he has on the game without getting the stats is bigger than Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh, I think you can rely on him getting like 10 points and a couple of rebounds, I think, even on Miami. But I think for Manu, because he was unpredictable and he was a fierce competitor, that's what made everybody talk about Manu. Manu's also brought I know Dwayne Wade is known for that Euro step, but Manu, I think, is one of the first ones to actually show it in the NBA and actually display it to the full advantage, I think. So,
I'm just saying, in terms of my argument against Chris Bosh, is the same as Manu here, is that he's not a superstar. He was a kind of third wheel here, if he stayed in Toronto, you know, maybe we would have had a different conversation, because maybe he would have averaged kind of similar stats to like Carmelo, but he hasn't. And I think so, he ends up as a star, which is, not many NBA players can even say that, right? It's to be a star, and I think he deserved to be in the All-Star games a bunch of times, maybe not 11 times, but definitely a number of times. So, but I don't think that kind of makes him a Hall of Fame player. I think it's not enough.
Yeah, I think Chris Bosh, I just don't think he has.
And I don't think he's brought, I think Manu has brought more impact into the game, in terms of maybe not changing the game style, but showing the importance of a six man, right? As opposed to Chris Bosh, who, if KG didn't exist, right? Then I don't even know if Chris Bosh would be kind of the next kind of example of a unicorn. But I don't think he's kind of shown an impact in terms of evolution of the game either. So in that sense, I'm not too high on Chris Bosh getting into the Hall of Fame. Although I do think that he will get into the Hall of Fame.
Really?
I think so.
Really?
I mean, if you just take the on-base numbers, 11-time All-Star, 2-time NBA champion, one-time gold medalist, with enough points per game and rebounds per game in his career.
Okay, you know what? I have more arguments for Manu Ginobili. Sorry, I
didn't. We're gonna return to Manu.
Sorry, he's also had success in the Euro League as well.
I agree there.
Which, I mean, obviously nobody else has, except for Powell, I think. So, that's I think is also.
I mean, I think.
What, I think that also helps.
I think what helps Manu is obviously winning, first of all, and not just the NBA, but also in Europe, and also in FIBA and Olympics, right? I think that's what you can get going for Manu. I think that the issue is always in the individual contribution.
No, he'll make it. That Basketball Reference is a joke.
I mean, Basketball Reference gives him a 20% chance, which isn't bad.
Yeah, and then Chris Bosh is 99%.
I mean, I agree there. I don't think that's accurate. I mean, I would give Manu a higher chance than Chris Bosh.
Remember, so
Basketball Reference doesn't take into account the European League or international accolades, right? It just takes an NBA.
Where is that in Basketball Reference?
If you look at like an individual stat, then if you look towards the bottom, under like appearances on leaderboards, awards and honors, the very last kind of box you see is Hall of Fame probability. By the way, to kind of give our listeners an idea of who else we were considering talking about: Ray Allen, Dwayne Wade, Pau Gasol. I'm interested in Pau Gasol's numbers here. What is it? 99.7%. Chauncey Billups. Let me see Chauncey really quickly. 84%. Tony Parker. I think Tony Parker's a 93.9.
Actually, Pau Gasol is really high too.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin Love is pretty dang high.
Interesting. Dwight Howard's really high.
Dwight Howard is dang high. Look, okay, so I'm just looking at this list, right? LeBron Wade, Nowitzki, Durant, for instance, is a player who I know who isn't 30 yet, but okay. Pretty dang good chance, right? That's very interesting. Wow, Vince Carter is actually pretty high too. That's interesting.
I would say okay, in terms of just looking at the list here, I would say the guys who I would say are offered it's questionable in terms of probability numbers: Chris Bosh, Dwight Howard, Tony Parker. Powell, I don't think is a 93. I think he's a little bit lower than that. Kevin Love, Joe Johnson, Rajon Rondo, John Wall, I don't think he's proven it yet. LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, oh come on, how can Blake Griffin be Kyle Lowry, Manu.
I think
Manu should be higher.
Manu being this low?
It's interesting. I mean, it would be interesting to kind of look at the model they built.
I wonder what this model is, because
they explain it, so take a look at it. They show the algorithm here. Interesting how they factor in height.
I wonder if that has anything to do with it. So that means like Isaiah Tom, like the Lakers Isaiah Tom, not the Detroit Piston former, like already in the Hall of Fame Isaiah Thomas, but the the Lakers Isaiah Thomas is probably going to be fairly low then, because if they take it, if they factor in height, then wow.
I mean, so they take in championships, but that's weird because
what's INT? What's INT? Because they take in height, NBA championship, big All Star. Oh, but they don't. So they don't take into consideration. Oh, so they actually don't take into consideration any, like. Or wait, what's NBA leaderboards points? I guess those are stats. Huh?
Yep. Well, before we kind of get into this, I mean, it's just a model that basketball.
Hey, I think we should come up with a better model.
I'm sure we can create a better model. The argument for basketball reference is that they don't have to recreate anything. It's just an algorithm, right? So you just put in all the stats and it just pops up. So, anyways, I think obviously we kind of go on and on here about Hall of Fame, but this has always kind of been a topic that I want to talk about, and I think not sure, but barring kind of really, really high interest level or really interesting topics, I kind of want to get into more kind of bigger themes, like Hall of Fame, like evolution of the game type things going forward, and that's hopefully we can have more discussions about that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So this has been our segment on players who we players that are going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame soon, and whether they deserve to or they don't. So thanks for your time.
Enjoy the All-Star weekend.
That's right, enjoy the All-Star weekend. Yeah, it's gonna be fun, hopefully.
Yeah.
I always hate descending. It's always hard to see what to say.
Come on. Come up with a good closing phrase.
Yeah, well.
I think that's a good one.
Alright. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we're out.
Bye-bye.